Well, I hope that you're having a great day today, and I appreciate you joining me as we go through our midweek Bible study. And today we're looking in 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at the first seven verses. And so if you have a copy of God's Word, I encourage you to grab it and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And as you're finding that, whether on a device or in the written Word of the Lord, just want to say that I am thankful that the Word of God touches on all aspects of our lives. You know, it gives us instruction, it gives us correction and encouragement. Over the past few weeks, as we've studied 1 Peter, we have seen how we are to relate to the government. Last week, we saw how we are to relate to our employers. And in fact, as we think about what we've looked at in the past, and we look at verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2, it gives us kind of a summation of the whole section of scripture that we've been going through and that we're looking at today, in fact. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 2 says, "Honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor." Now, this verse, of course, verse 17 out of 1 Peter 2, it calls us to do the exact opposite of what we see in the world today. It calls us to be different. We have been called to more than what this world is. We have been called to holiness and righteousness. In fact, we see the idea of honoring each other not only applied in the government citizen type relationship and in the employer employee relationship, but as we see in chapter 3 today, it's also applied in the marriage relationship. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and of course, in light of what we looked at over the past few weeks, in light of verse 17 of 1 Peter 2 that tells us to honor everyone, to love the brothers and sisters, to fear God and honor the emperor, as we look at these verses, let's keep it in mind that we are to honor everyone. So verse 1, it says, "In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live. When you observe your pure, reverent lives, don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Father, as we come to your word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word to us, that he would guide us as we look at your word. Father, I ask once again that you would forgive us of our sins, that as we encounter your word, we ask that we would be right with you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to confess our sins and that you would forgive us of our sins as we confess. And we're thankful that we have the promise from Scripture that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so we're thankful that we can be forgiven. And so as we look in your word, help us to understand and apply it to our lives in how that we can live out these verses in our own lives in a way that is pleasing to you and is a testimony to others of the saving work of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get started on this study, I just want to encourage those of you that either may not yet be married or those of you that may no longer be married, whether it would be due to your spouse passing away before you or maybe you've gone through through a divorce or something of that nature. And you're currently in a situation where you are not married. Now, while these verses are talking about the marriage relationship, I want you to understand that we can glean from Scripture. No matter what situation we are in, we can actually take and look and see the application for every situation that we're in. And so I want to encourage you to stay with me as we look at this passage and to understand what the Lord is telling you in your situation. And who knows, it might be that you may find yourself married in the near future. And so let's take God's word to heart and apply it to our lives. So as we look in these verses, first of all, we see a word to women. And so through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter is addressing the ladies first. And so in this passage, Peter gives practical instruction for doing good works. Now, these instructions, I understand, are not popular in today's society. And I dare say they're not popular in the church either. But let's remember that the church is to be different from the world. The church is to be the example to the world and not the church following the world's example. And so we are not to be influenced by the world. Rather, we are to be influencers. And one of the ways that we can show the difference that Christ has made in our lives is to show the difference Christ makes in the home. And so as we think about what is being said here, we need to be obedient to God's word, and we need to do that in such a way that it speaks of the goodness of God, the grace of God, and helps people to understand the way God has designed the home. And if we live in accordance to God's instruction, then we'll find that things go much better. And so, of course, the world will tell you that you don't need to submit to your husband, but the word is very clear here. He tells the ladies to submit to their husbands. And of course, we've already been instructed in chapter 2, verse 13, to submit to every human authority. And then in verse 18, we have the instructions to submit to our employers. And now in chapter 3, wives are being instructed to submit to their husbands. And so this idea of submission is not anything new as we come to this verse or this section of Scripture here. He's already told us different ways that we are to submit. And he has not left out the husbands in their submitting to those over them. As he comes to the marriage relationship, he's reminding wives to submit to their husbands. Now, of course, the word submit has the idea of obedience as well as the ideas of to be put under or in submission or to be subject to. But this is not something to be forced upon another person, and especially not to be forced by the husband onto his wife to submit to her. He does not need to say, hey, you need to submit to me because that's what the Bible says. Rather, submission to your husband ought to be out of a natural outpouring of love for Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, because you want to be pleasing to the Lord, then you do what the Lord has told you to do. And in this case, as we see here in 1 Peter chapter 3, he is commanding that wives submit to their husbands. And so in the case of a woman that may be married to an unbelieving husband, the way that you follow God's commands is a living testimony to him. So in verses 1 and 2, let me read that again. It says, in the same way, wives, submit to your own husbands so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live when they observe your pure, reverent lives. And so what he's saying here is that even if you don't give a word about the Lord, that the way you live your life in obedience to the Lord and his word will win that unbelieving husband over. And one of the ways that you live out your faith is by following the command of Scripture to submit to your husband. Now, in addition to submitting your own husbands, wives are also instructed to live pure, reverent lives. Now, I want to say right now that while the instruction is very clearly given to ladies here, or at least the wives, to live pure, reverent lives, I believe that this word here is applicable to all of us, that we are to live pure, reverent lives as followers of Christ. Now, as we think about this, there may be a situation in which a husband is trying to get his wife to go along with some sin. And so when it comes to that, wives, I want to encourage you to submit to God before you submit to your husband. God first, husband second. And so if he's asking you to do something that will cause you to disobey the Lord, then you will need to obey the Lord rather than your husband. Now, as we think about all these things that are going on, we see that submission to God ought to take precedence in how we relate to our government, to our employer, and in the home. And so, God before our country, God before our job, and God before our spouse. And so, as Peter continues to discuss the relationship between wives and their husbands, he goes on to explain that the wives ought to strive for a beauty that is beyond skin deep. And so, you know, some people have taken a legalistic interpretation of verse 3, but however, if we look at verse 3 and 4 together, we get a complete understanding of what the Holy Spirit was directing Peter to write. And so verse 3, it says, "Don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes." So if you just look at 1 Peter 3:3, then it sounds like it's giving you instructions to just be homely or not to, try to look nice. But if you include verse 4 with verse 3, verse 4 says, "But rather what is inside the heart." So let me read verse 3 again so that we get the full picture here, actually getting the full sentence. And sometimes when we look at the Bible, you know, the Bible is divided into chapters and verses so that we can better know where we are. And so, like, if we're in a sermon, in a church service or in a Bible study, and we want to all be at the same scripture, we can call out the book, chapter, and verse and get to that same scripture. But here in 1 Peter 3, if you'll see, verse 3 ends with a comma, and then verse 4 ends with a period. So when the verses were put in, apparently they divided this sentence in two. And so looking at verse 3 by itself, you don't get the full idea. So verse 3 and 4 together. "Don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." So what he's saying here essentially is it does not matter how dressed up you get or how dressed down you are, whether you like to walk out looking the best that you can, or if you want to do like my oldest daughter and wear sweatpants and a sweatshirt wherever you want to go, and I swear she'd probably wear it to a banquet if she could. But what matters more than what you are wearing on the outside is the beauty within. Now, these verses are not a prohibition for makeup, hairstyles, and jewelry. It's not a sin to make yourself look nice. What he is saying is, don't let your beauty consist only of these things. Don't let the outward appearance take priority. The scripture is telling us that a beautiful heart is more important than outward appearance. Now, as we look at what kind of spirit or action that he is specifically calling wives to have, we must understand that these qualities are not just for wives. but all, for all followers of Christ. So, men, we are not off the hook for this, nor should we expect our wives to do something that we are not already doing. Excuse me. So, we are told, or at least the wives are told, to let their beauty be a gentle spirit. And so I think that that applies to all believers, that we ought to let our beauty be a gentle spirit. Now, the word gentle is the same word that is translated as humble. So whether you are a wife, a husband, a son, or a daughter, I think that includes everybody. Everybody's either a son or a daughter. If we follow Christ, we're to be humble. Now, we'll look at humility more in depth when we get to chapter 5, but let me read verses 5 and 6 from chapter 5. So, verse 5 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." So, that's talking about that gentle spirit that Peter is telling the wives to have here in chapter 3. And he continues on with verse 5. He says, "Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time." Now, you know, the best interpretation of Scripture is Scripture, and looking at chapter 3 in the context of 1 Peter as a whole, and we bring in these verses from chapter 5, and we understand that we should clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Remember, in chapter 3, he's telling the wives, "Don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes." And he continued to say, "What is inside the heart." Chapter 5, he's saying, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." So, the clothing that we ought to strive for is not necessarily something that's made out of fabric that we put on ourselves, but the clothing that we ought to strive for is that humble spirit, being humble toward one another. And so all of us should live with that quiet, gentle spirit. Now, the word quiet means peaceful. We should not be quick to anger. We should not be quick to be frustrated, but we should live in peace. I realize this is easier said than done, but as we grow closer to Christ, as we grow in Christ, as we become more like Christ, then we will behave more like him and we'll be slower to anger. We'll be slower to frustration and we will live in peace. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says there, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth." Now, as we look at this passage, we need to understand that we are to lead that tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And as we think about that, we see that it is good and it pleases our God, our Savior, and that he wants everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So as we're looking at what Peter says and what Paul is telling Timothy, we need to understand that this gentle and quiet spirit that is described is a means of witness. Now, it should not be our only means of witness. Yes, we must share the gospel verbally, but the way that we live our lives ought to be a testimony of the work of God in one's life, in that we are different from the world. And as we think about this being this gentle and quiet spirit being an imperishable quality, it means it's a quality that will not die. A gentle and quiet spirit is a quality that cannot be defeated. And all of us should have a gentle and quiet spirit as followers of Christ. And so it means we don't go and fly off the handle every time things don't go our way. We may need to be firm in a situation, but it does not mean that we have to be loud and obnoxious. We can have a gentle and quiet spirit and yet still be firm. And so we constantly need to remember to treat people as we want to be treated. And if that's the case and we follow that, we will find that we are going to be good witnesses for the Lord. Now, verses 5 and 6 has Sarah as an example. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and she was an example that it was used of a wife that had a gentle and quiet spirit who submitted to her husband. And so I'd encourage you to go back and look at the life of Sarah. Did she get everything right? No, absolutely not. But she submitted to Abraham and to his leadership in the family. Now, we've talked about the submission of wives. We talked about wives having a gentle and quiet spirit, and also that gentle and quiet spirit applying to all of us as believers. But, you know, Peter did not leave us husbands off the hook. In fact, I think maybe the word that he has for husbands is a little more direct and a little bit harder on us than what it is on our wives. And so it says in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So, as we think about this, I want to say to us husbands, gentlemen, and even you single guys out there that may be listening and you're going to be married one day, there is no higher calling than to be a Christian husband. And as we think about that and the command here to live with our wives in an understanding way, we need to understand that the word live does not just mean to have the same residence, does not mean to share the same living space. What it means is to do life with. It goes beyond sharing the same bed, the same house, the same address. It is a lifelong partnership of sharing responsibilities, dreams, goals, and so on and so forth. He said, live with our wives in an understanding way, or live with your wives in an understanding way. And so that means we are to know our wives. You should know your wife better than you know any other human being. You should know more about her than you know about your favorite athlete and his stats. You should know more about your wife than you do your job or your trade. And yes, I understand that, you know, it is hard to figure women out. And anybody that can do that is an absolute genius and is probably the smartest man that's ever lived. And the one that the Bible describes as the wisest man that ever lived was King Solomon. And he still wasn't able to figure out his wives, plural. We definitely should strive to know more about our wives than we know anyone or anything else. And so we are to live with our wives. We are to do life with our wives in an understanding way. And we are to know our wife as well as to live in partnership with her. And so as you think about that, it says as with a weaker partner. Now, I want to emphasize the idea of the partnership. We're called to be in a partnership with our wives. We are called to lead our wives. We are to love our wives. We are to grow our wives in Christ. We are to honor them. And I'm getting ahead of myself again. But anyway, we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And we'll look at Ephesians 5 in just a moment and see where we're commanded to love our wives as Christ loves the church. But that thought is something that I probably fail in more than I want to admit. And all of us as husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for the church. He gave up everything that he rightfully had, in the worship that he had in heaven, the status that he had in heaven. He gave all that up and came and he lived and he died. He gave up his life. He died a death that he did not deserve. And so I don't know about you, but maybe I lose that thought process sometimes, understanding that Jesus did not deserve to die. It was a great injustice for him to die. But because of his mercy, because of his love for the church, he gave himself up for the church. And so too, we as husbands should love our wives as Christ loved the church. We are to provide for our wives spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. We are to meet and provide the needs that our wives have. And so we need to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And we are to show our wives honor as co-heirs of the grace of life. While we have the role of the head of the family in a family that is trying to follow God's plan and God's way, the husband is the head of the family. And so while we have a position of leadership that God has given us, we are not to lord it over them or rule over our wives. Folks, I want you to understand that there is a big difference in between being a manager and a leader. And so, husbands, we are not to manage our wives, but we are to lead. A leader will bring someone alongside and explain to the one that they're leading why they're going, and challenge and motivate and inspire those that they are leading. And so we as husbands should encourage our wives. We should inspire our wives. We should be our wives' greatest cheerleader, if you will. And so we are to recognize our equal standing before God and to honor our wives accordingly and to build them up in the faith as well as all aspects of the life of life. So notice what happens, husbands, men, if we don't obey the scripture to verse 7 here, where it says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. So if we don't obey, it's showing here that our prayers will be hindered. So we got to do the things of verse 7 so that our prayers will not be hindered. Now, sorry for doing this. Usually what I'll do is I'll stop the recording and go back and re-record when I kind of get dumbfounded with the words that I need to say. But here's the thing that we've got to understand is that God values the way we treat our wives. And so if God is not answering our prayers, we need to evaluate how we're treating our wives. And so we have an example of how to treat our wives. We have an example of how to love our wives, and that example is Jesus Christ. I made reference to Ephesians 5 a little bit earlier. Well, verses 22 through 33 says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. So let me leave you with this as we close. The relationship between Christ and the church is the example of how our marriages are to be. In addition, Christian marriages should look like the relationship between Christ and the church. We cannot live up to this example without God empowering us. Just look at the love that Christ had for us. He gave himself up for the church. In other words, he died for us so that he would cleanse us from sin and make us holy. And so we need to, as husbands, love our wives in the same way. And so this verse, these seven verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, they're very challenging to us in how we are to carry out the Christian faith and how we are to display faith in the home. But if we will follow these precepts, we will find that we will have better marriages, we'll have happier marriages, we'll have more stable homes, and we will see that not only would the home be strengthened, but the church would be strengthened because we would have strong homes that make up the strong churches, and strong churches would make up strong communities as we are following God's word together. Father, I thank you for everyone that is listening to this series of Bible studies through the website. I ask that you would bless them, that you would keep them, and that you would help each of us to be obedient to your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining me here for our Bible study, and I hope that you have a great rest of the week, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Take care.